There is only one thing that you can control in your life. That's your thoughts. You can choose to be happy or you can choose to be miserable. It's just that simple. Join me for the next hour on Law of Attraction Talk Radio, where I hope to inspire you to make the conscious decision to be happy. For that is the exact place where you need to be to create your own magnificent reality. Let us begin now. Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California, and I'm just thrilled that you could be with us tonight. It's going to be a great show because we have my old friend back, Marguerite Manning, who is the karmic astrologer. And if you haven't heard her before, she's going to blow you away. She's probably one of the most accurate astrologers I have ever met, and she's fabulous. So it's going to be a great, great show. Before we get started, and even before we go to commercial, I want to talk about the shift that is occurring right now that everybody is feeling. It's all about awakening to the fact that we are one. The shift is occurring now, not 2012. If we are fighting with others, or if we're in disagreement with others, what it really means is that we are fighting with ourselves. We need to turn within to fully understand how we are creating our exterior environment. It's time to touch and to deal with our own inner emotions. It's time to heal those so that the 100 monkey effect can be prevalent in our collective consciousness. It's the time to awaken, to forgive, and to heal, and to fully understand that we are completely responsible for all of our creations, the good, the bad, and even the ugly. It's about us, understanding us so that we can understand others. We are awakening to the fact that we need and must connect to everyone around us. You know, it's really important to start visualizing, using your mind power to create a future beyond 2012. And you've got to start right now. You need to focus in on your dreams, on what you want to have happen in your future. You want an abundant life. You want peace in the world. You want the economy to be fine, whether that includes money or not. You want to become freer, without burdens. You want to learn how to be happy regardless of everything else that's going on in the world. That's what the shift is all about. So now is the time to rid ourselves of all of these burdens, be it mortgages or outstanding debt. We need to learn to live more simply and then to create. It's not so much about money, although we all like money. We like to peel it off and spend it on what we want. But truthfully, can't we have well-being without money? Something as simple as a smile on a child's face, or a beautiful picture, or a pet that just wants to snuggle right up to you. Those are the things that are really important. And do we need to be happy with a big checking account? Well, it would be nice, but maybe it's not really necessary. And maybe that's what we came here right now to figure out. And this is where Marguerite's going to help us with the show tonight as well. It's now time to focus in and to realize that the shift is now occurring. And now that the shift is occurring, now is the time to dream, to wish upon that star, to just visualize a fantastic, abundant future full of friends, family, and everything that makes you feel as if you're in that happiness vortex. That's what it's all about. So I hope you'll join me in becoming a part of that 100th monkey so that we can start first within, but have it ripple out and make a difference in the collective consciousness. It's real important right now not to get stuck in these emotions that bubble up. It's really important to move forward. It's really important to forgive and forget. It's just important to be happy. So let's take a listen to these wonderful commercials, and we'll be right back where we're going to talk to Marguerite Manning. Have you been receiving your free issue of Alms Times magazine in your email box? Every 2 weeks, you'll receive this top quality magazine that has spiritual, metaphysical, and scientific information that will rock your world. Go to almstimes.com, OMTIMES.com, to sign up for your free subscription today.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at LOARadionetwork.com. Hear this incredible show on your smartphone through Stitcher.com, which goes through your car stereos with Ford Sync or any auto dashboard that has the internet. Listen to our 24/7 broadcast with our mobile app as well, or just listen through an MP3 player or computer. Remember, LOARadionetwork.com, heard in over 120 countries, is the radio station for your well-being.
Hi there, I'm Larry Michael from the Larry Love Show and the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And this video is a plea for help. I need your help. Men, we are doing this amazing cruise in October 27th through the 31st, from Miami down to Cozumel through Key West. And the ship is loaded with beautiful goddesses and women, and we don't have enough men. And I'm telling you, I can't handle that all myself. I need some help. And so this is an invitation to come with us on one of the most amazing cruises you could possibly be on. This is absolutely the true love boat. I'm serious. We are energetically matching everybody on the cruise. We are going to have people doing things and enjoying each other like you've never experienced before. We have hosts from the network that are going to be on the cruise with us doing incredible seminars. We've got parties. We've got get-togethers. We've got outings. This is just 3.5 marvelous, blissful days, and I need your help, guys. In fact, I need it so bad, we're going to give you a special $100 men's discount. Now, how often do you hear that, right? Usually women get free drinks. Not this time. You get $100 off, but you got to take action right away. I want you to join me. I want you to come play with us and have an incredible time. That's the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And to get to it, you go to LOARadionetwork.com. And right there, you're going to be able to click on Cruise. Come sail with us. Please. See you soon.
Okay, we are back, and you just heard Larry Michael make a plea to all of the men out there that he cannot handle all the goddesses and all the beautiful women that are coming on this cruise. So, we have decided to give all the men coming on a $100 discount. So contact me, Jules at LOA Radio Network. so that you can come on and get a special $100 discount. We would love to have you, and so would the women. So come on, what are you waiting for? Now, let's talk with Marguerite Manning. Marguerite Manning is a professional astrologer and a best-selling author of Cosmic Karma, who specializes in advancing the universal law of karma through scientific principles of astrology. And as the founder of Cosmic Connections, a personal enlightenment and astrological consulting service, her work is inspired by the philosophy of Carl Sagan and the spirituality of Edgar Cayce, and the belief that only when science and spirit work together does the universe work divinely. Oh boy, I am so in agreement with that. If you'd like to visit Marguerite Manning, please go to her website at marguerite.manning.com, or you can put in the search engine Cosmic Karma Astrology, and Marguerite will pop right up. Well, welcome, Marguerite, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I am so thrilled that you are back.
Well, thank you, my fellow Gemini soul sister. I'm thrilled to be here. This is such exciting energy. I always love being on the air with you, Jules.
Oh, thank you, Marguerite. So, we've got a lot to catch up on and to talk about.
Absolutely.
What's going on? First, I wanted to touch base about 2012, and let's talk about why we may have chosen this time to come back and experience it. I know everybody's having all these emotions bubble up right now. I mean, it is really getting intense. So I was hoping that maybe you could share with us the reason, karmically.
Yeah, from a karmic perspective, I'm of the belief system that when we, every life that we come into, we have this powwow with the cosmos, and we sit down, and the cosmos, that's where we get this, I don't know, and you've heard it too, Jules, where people will talk about have had these clinical deaths, these near-death experiences, and they always see their life flash before them, and they see this wonderful being of light. I'm convinced that goes on for each of us between lives, and we have this powwow with the cosmos where they the universal mind or God or the cosmos shows us our life, where we've done really well, where we could improve, and asks us, what do you want next? And we choose the energies to come into in this lifetime. And then when the universal clock moves into the formula for us, boom, we're dispatched to this planet to report for duty. So that's why when people come back and they talk about this non-judgmental being of light and seeing their life flash before them, no matter what culture, no matter what religion, no matter what part of the globe they come from, everyone, Raymond Moody wrote a wonderful book years ago, everyone's experience is the same. So I don't think it's any accident that every soul that's on this planet now is here now for this shift in our energy. We're moving into what I believe, when most astrologers will tell you, is that age of Aquarius. We're not that far from it, and that's that metaphysical higher mind of universal brotherhood. And in order for, I think, all of us to get there, we've got to be privy to everything that's happening on this planet now. And I don't think it's a gloom and doom situation. I think the higher and the more evolved souls are kind of excited on some level to let that materialistic part of us go and to let that energy be released so that we can embrace something higher. It's kind of going toward that being of light. We know it's better. And how many times have you seen those or read those accounts, and people never want to come back. And they're disappointed that they came back to this material plane. And I think on a kind of microcosmic level, that's going to happen to us when we make that shift. It won't be pretty. And I don't think it'll be, you know, it'll be all that comfortable. But when has growth ever been comfortable?
Right.
You know? And I think we only grow when we're outside our comfort zone. So we do need, and unfortunately, we do have the material and the human needs of being on this planet. We have to pay bills and we have to have a roof over our head. But I think for the real believers, the people that believe in the universal law of attraction and what goes around comes around, if we were all to just say to ourselves, no matter what birth chart I look, you know, to the universe or to God or the universal mind, that you always catch me before I fall, that somehow, you know, if you don't blueprint, you will emerge victorious on the other side. You know, so I believe that we're all here for a reason. And I'm sure you see it too, Jules. I believe that most metaphysicians, there's so much more, it's more open. People are more ready to embrace things like astrology and matrix energetics and chakras. And I mean, that was never the case 20 years ago.
I know. And matter of fact, it's even being looked at by the medical profession. That's amazing. Science and spirituality have merged to a new level, and it is incredible. So you think that, and maybe it's not going to be so uncomfortable, but I agree with you about the shift. Maybe it's just in regards to simplifying our life, getting rid of all those outstanding things that are hanging over our head, just cutting down so that we can start living our life comfortably without all of the worries of an accumulation of debt within our lives. So I think it's not going to be so hard. God knows I've started simplifying years ago. And the result is take a deep breath and relax and enjoy life more because there's nothing hanging over your head.
I think it's like a pendulum. I think this is our existence, as Edgar Cayce said, this planet is a material one. So our existence here on this planet is, I believe, how to live a life that our body has worked for and the soul can be proud of. And I think the pendulum has swung so far one way. It's a materialistic planet, and we're materialistic. Now it's swung back the other way, and I think eventually it's going to land somewhere in the middle where we're not the Mother Teresa giving up everything just for the sake of sacrifice, because that's not what our lives are supposed to be like. They're supposed to be joyful. And we're supposed to have abundance, but abundance of what we need to make us happy, not abundance of what we think everybody else wants or everybody else thinks we should have to make us happy. And I think that's what we're coming to grips with. I know in my old age now, the things that I want to take with me when I move are very different than the things I wanted 20 years ago to take with me when I moved. We're simplifying, as you said.
Wonderful. Yes, I am in total agreement. You know, this is such a delight to see you.
I know. I can finally put the energy on the phone with all that beautiful face that I'm looking at now. So that's really nice.
It is nice. So let's talk about Chiron. What is Chiron? Tell us. Give us a scoop.
Okay, Chiron is one of the five major asteroids that I use in karmic astrology, and astrologers refer to him as the wounded healer. And Chiron is really, really a very significant part in karmic astrology for me, because whenever I look at the 12th house of someone's chart, I can always bring it back to the wound that they suffered in their last life. And when I look at the wound in the last lifetime, it's usually one that they're still carrying with them in this lifetime. And what the really neat part about Chiron is, just like in Greek mythology, the senator Chiron, half horse, half man, was wounded by his mother, was rejected by his mother because of his physical, supposedly Chiron was the son of an illegitimate son of Zeus, who was fooling around at the time he was caught by his wife Hera. So he turned himself into a horse. Talk about a great excuse. And then the baby that was born was part horse and part human. But the point is, Chiron was rejected by his mother because of how he looked. And that's what Chiron represents in our chart, what we feel rejected by humanity, our inner wound, and what we need to heal in ourselves first before we can experience joy and happiness. And once we do, we have the potential to heal that in others. That's really a very, very significant part of us moving forward in this lifetime on this physical planet, because Chiron is a very physical energy in the birth chart. So when we look at Chiron in the chart, and if I pulled up your chart now, and we'll pull up yours, Jules, just to give you an idea of, and we all have Chiron somewhere, and usually with people like you and I, hopefully we're at an age where we kind of get it. And we say, okay, we acknowledge that. Okay, with yours, Chiron in your chart shows in being wounded by your dad in your last life, being wounded by authority figures in your last life, to never believing that you knew anything or that you were good enough. You have Chiron in Capricorn, and I think it's really fascinating that you're an authority figure in your own right, and you're being kind of like very parental to everybody else in this incarnation. So on some level, you've healed that wound, but you had it in the seventh house, which tells me that the deepest wound in your last lifetime, the deepest healing for you in this lifetime, is going to come through independently overcoming codependent or abusive relationships, that you were wounded by a spouse or partners in your last life into thinking that you had no voice. into thinking that you had nothing to say and you closed down. Now in this lifetime, look at you. You know, you're being that parental figures to others, and I would believe giving them a voice, showing them there are ways to manifest and do things very much in a parental way. So this, what you have the ability to heal in others, is to giving them the feeling that they do have a partner in a sense, and it doesn't have to be a physical flesh and blood partner in getting the things they want out of life. But they are never really alone.
Wow.
Interesting.
That is fascinating. So because I was my father's caregiver, that would kind of play into that, wouldn't it?
I would absolutely say so. In this lifetime, and it would be even more striking if in this lifetime your father was not somebody that recognized your worth or your value until you were giving him care.
That's right.
It's all coming full circle. In other words, and your father learned a valuable lesson, that something that he thought was not worthwhile was what was helping him, not only when no one else would and when no one else was there, but helping him make a very important transition as well at the very end of his life.
Wow.
So how do you have more worth than that? You know, it's impossible. You know, so then I don't know how long after that you went on this journey, but I would say they were very closely tied to your feelings of inner self-worth.
Yes.
Maybe not on a conscious level, but they had to be tied on a soul level. Finally getting that recognition, but it almost was not that you were so needy that you needed that recognition from this man, but the soul recognized that soul as it was like an aha moment for you. See, I do have value. See, I do. And that was what was empowering to your soul.
Wow, that really hits me between the eyes. You don't know how much I needed to hear that today.
No, but it really is. And don't think for one minute, with you having Chiron there, what's really interesting, Jules, I don't know if you ever thought about it, but you could be, if I were looking at your chart and didn't know anything about you, being in the sign of the Father, now you and I know the Father is any kind of authority. It could be the government. It could be any kind of authority figure, but we might think of the Father as something different than somebody else's universe being the Father to all of us, correct? So right now, when I'm looking at Chiron in Capricorn in your seventh house, it's telling me that you have the ability to give others a relationship with that father that never recognized them, because you healed that wound within you. So I'm sure if you could look at your clientele, they're wounded, obviously, because of the work that you do. And I would bet that you go back into that past and find where that wound occurred. Maybe many times you're not even aware where it came from in their last life, but you're touching that nerve. And I think that's really powerful.
Yeah, it's very interesting, because the clients that I've been having have all had father issues. So it's very interesting that the universe is bringing them to me to resolve those father issues. Very interesting.
People don't realize how powerful our parents are. And we deify them when we're young souls coming in. And I say to people, not very lightly, Jesus Christ had father issues. When you think of it, you know, I mean, how tough is it to be the Son of God? I mean, and really try to get that message out. So we all have somebody who created us that we're trying to win their approval and their respect and do what they want us to do. And many times what we fail to realize, and I see it in charts and I'm sure you do, that the people the souls we're deifying are not as evolved as we are sometimes. And that's hard for kids to grasp. They're looking to this soul that's not that evolved to give them recognition that they can't. So that's kind of interesting when I see that in the chart. Many times we think we're born to parents because they're here to teach us, but many times children are born to parents to teach them.
Wow, that is very good. Do you recommend that parents have their children's charts done? I mean, I could see where to know karmically what is from a past life. Would it be helpful for parents to help guide them?
I've used, and I don't tell people this too often, or I never did, but when all three of my children were born, I used their charts. Now, I have certain rules. I'm a disciplinarian, so I have certain rules in my house and certain beliefs I wanted them to have and things to live up to and a moral code. And yet every single one of my children had a different chart. So based on that chart was how I presented that, knowing where their past came from in a point, one point in case, and I'll show you how helpful it was. And we've all had this experience. I had when my daughter and I asked her if I could share this information a few years ago. She said yes, she's grown now. But when she was very younger, she was about 7, she was going through a phase which I think every parent will recognize, where they were lying and stealing and doing little things around the house that were just, it just came out of nowhere. Cookies in her bedroom and wet clothes under the bed and telling me she didn't put her, she hung her coat up and it was under the bed. It was crazy stuff. And she kept getting in trouble. She kept getting punished. And one day I lost it with her and I sent her to bed early and I got angry and I yelled at her and she went to bed early. And that night I went into the room and I sat down in the bed and I said to her, you know, Whitney, I said, Mommy really doesn't like your behavior today. And I thought, I'm going to start talking to her. So I pulled out her chart and I saw her sign in the 12th, the moon in her 12th house. And I realized that in her last lifetime, she was separated from her family. And she kind of grew up like an Oliver Twist existence where she was on the street trying to strive to live, you know, very much like breaking out of an orphanage kind of thing. Her mother was hospitalized and died in the hospital. And I thought, okay, I'm going to appeal to this. And I said, I know yesterday and a long time ago that you had to fend for yourself, that you had to steal to have food, that you had to, you know, be underhanded to have clothes. But look around you now. You have parents in the next room, all kinds of toys downstairs, a sister in the next bed, a brother in the other room, lots of food, lots of toys. I said, my only problem now with you is that if you don't appreciate these things, the universe will think you don't, and they'll be gone. I said, so for you to act that way is showing that you're not grateful for what you have. And I know there was a time you needed to exercise this behavior, but no more. And she was only 7. And I said, she's going to think, Mom has lost her mind. And she's just looking at me in the dark, and she said, okay, Mommy, I understand. And I said, I love you, and we kissed each other goodnight. From that day forward, Jules, this is what took me on this path. The behavior stopped. It stopped, and I realized she was so young, and I was so ignorant as bliss. I actually did communicate with her soul. And she got it. And when years later, when she was older in college, I said, Whitney, do you remember that night? She said, I do. I said, what were you thinking? She goes, I don't know. I look back and I wonder, why didn't I think that was crazy? But I didn't. It just made so... She said, I felt something in here. And I thought, that's what I want to do for my clients. I want to touch a part of them that they don't even know is existing in there, because we all have it. It's what shrinks do. They call it psychology, but that the psyche is the soul. You know, and there's so many things that we have in here that we're not even aware of that are in there, but we have patterns. And I think what was happening for her is something in the sky triggered that moon in the 12th to start thinking, okay, I got to start surviving again. And there was no reason for it. But how often does that happen to any of us when we break into behavior that we don't understand or that we haven't seen in a long time or that isn't really where we want to be at that moment, but we do it and we don't know why.
Right. Wow. That is fascinating. Ooh, it makes so much sense. We have got a caller. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Marguerite. My question is, will I, in the near future, be manifesting more of everything in my life? Because I feel like I'm on the verge right now.
You're on the verge of something fabulous, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Okay, let me pull up his birth chart here now, and I can give you an idea what we have in store here. So this is April 23rd. You gave me his information. Okay, Lou, you know, you came into this incarnation, as you probably know, with Gemini on your 12th house cusp. Gemini, 2 degrees Gemini. So Mercury is a really big factor. And the ruler of your 12th is up there in the 11th. So the big thing about this, it tells me that in your last lifetime, you were involved in teaching, academics, writing, journal, some kind of communication. And your soul's previous existence was one you were very mentally brilliant and stimulating. And you had some stimulating siblings. You were highly intellectual in this past incarnation. But there's some kind of overwhelming guilt that forced you to suppress your intellect when you felt you were withholding information that I believe affected your family. I believe that what happened was your family, and I think in your brother in particular, a sibling in particular, you lost them. I think they died with your father and quite possibly your mother, Lou, and you were put in some kind of orphanage or upbringing that way. But this was either a religious or a very strict place that led you to believe that you were totally responsible because you were the survivor. I think in those days, that kind of thing probably went on more often than we'd like to admit. But here's the thing about you. When you, with the ruler of the 12th being in your 11th, Lou, that made you, in that lifetime, an eccentric loner. You were someone whose personal distinction and individual attention was undermined by being part of the group. You never felt special. You never felt like an individual. This was a life defined by few reliable friends, numerous jealousies, and a dependency on the charity of others. You were constantly reminded that you were being taken care of by this organization or this group. Your individual genius was sacrificed so that you could be accepted and popular. And I believe you were hurt. I believe that you weren't treated very well. And I believe that you felt that it was okay because your family lost their lives. And I believe that you developed some kind of an injury in that lifetime. You might have been with your parents and your siblings, and you survived, and that's why you felt guilty when I'm looking at the chart. So to this day, I don't know if there's any kind of physical injury or any kind of physical mark on your body that makes you feel insecure and inadequate or holds you back. But when you can get moved beyond the guilt of that last lifetime and those supposedly spiritual people that taught you should be guilty for what happened to your parents. I believe that your parents had money and they just wanted to get their hands on your family's money when you were in this institution. But here's what I want to say to you. You have this 11th house sun, so you're right. You know that in this lifetime you're supposed to be wildly popular and wildly sought after. And you're supposed to be somebody that helps others push. It's in groups. Lou, you're supposed to be the person in the group being inspirational to others. You're supposed to be those same groups that made that in your last life that made you feel inferior. Whatever the universe is, however it's rearranging itself now, moving you towards isolation and be alone is not part of it. If there's classes that you want to take, groups that you want to belong to, I don't even care if it's a bowling club or going to something like Silva Mind Control, this is where you belong. You belong surrounded by groups of your colleagues and peers because this is where you're going to shine. You're going to lead them. When you have an 11th house sun, you're here for what seems like an oxymoron, group leadership. But you'll never be the leader you're meant to be if you're not part of the group first. And with your soul can be afraid to stand up in front of the group, afraid you're being judged again, afraid that you don't measure up. But you do. You're incredibly skilled. You've got a great sense of self on a very core level, but somehow you feel when you're in front of the group that diminishes. You've got to try to lose that guilt about information that you exchanged in the past or information that you, in some way this was your fault. This is how you were led to believe. And you're very close and with your information and your personal information now in this life because of it. You feel people can use it against you. There's really something very powerful. You lost your voice in your last lifetime. You're supposed to gain your voice in this one. You're supposed to pick up that voice and stand up in front of the group in some way, tell your story, talk, and be a very powerful presence. And yes, you will shine like the noonday sun when you do that. You'll be a leader in your own right. It's not alone, though. And you know what? It's kind of like an oxymoron for you because that Aries sun believes you should be able to do it independently, and you will. But you're supposed to have followers, and your followers are in that group, Lou. You've got to get yourself involved in the areas of life that you enjoy, that make you blissful, and I am convinced it's in schools and classes and learning. I'm convinced it's in metaphysics. I'm convinced you have a higher mind. And I'm convinced that you could be a teacher of some kind in those type of classes. I really encourage you to go down that path because that's where you're going to shine. No doubt about it. And it's got to be where you eliminate the guilt of having created harm for others. You never did. You never, never did. And that's what your mind has to wrap its brain around. I hope that made sense.
Well, you know, it made sense to me because I know Lou personally, and he is an absolute delight. And he has this healing quality about him that he doesn't really use as much as he should. Do you see that he is a healer?
Absolutely. And it's almost as if it's very hands-on. Does he have a hands-on? Does he have, like, healing hands?
Yes.
Okay. It's a very hands-on, very Aries kind of thing where his physical body is involved. But there's something about his physical body that he doesn't feel adequate about. His physical body is a gift. So whatever this feeling is, it's in the last life. It has nothing to do with now. And the minute that you can wrap your brain around that will be the minute that you move beyond it. I don't know. Was he born with a birthmark? There's something he sees as an imperfection.
He was born with a physical
what he would think of as an imperfection?
Yes.
Okay, that's so not true. That, and I want him to know, that's the soul's way of massaging the guilt. I think, okay, now I can feel better about existing because I am not perfect when I let this happen. And got to ixnay that because that's just the soul's way of feeling, of you know, feeling better about what happened in the past because you were led to believe it was your fault, and it wasn't. It wasn't. Nobody ever died on your watch, Lou. That didn't happen. But it's amazing when you see this, the ruler of the 12th and the 11th, it's almost like these dogmatic extremists that had got their hands on him when he was very young, led him to, it was a very different kind of religion, led him to believe from a very guilty perspective that things would be punishments. And that's not the way, that's not the universe that we live in.
Interesting, interesting. He came in with cerebral palsy.
Ah, okay.
So do you know how right on target you were?
Well, do you know what? He on some level, that is, and I'm convinced of it, it's making him believe that, you know, also, because, it's, and here's another thing, when you've got Gemini on the 12th, and as do you, Missy.
Yeah.
There's a real psychic ability. And so what happens is your thinking is not on the conscious level. You kind of appear flighty sometimes to people, but it's all on the gut instinctual level because you're exercising your mental abilities working subconsciously. So it's interesting that you say cerebral palsy. It's a way of him taking everybody from kind of paying attention to him on the intellectual level. And down deep, he's got all this stuff going on. He could be a very gifted psychic intuitive himself with that.
I do believe he is very psychic and intuitive just an incredible, loving human being.
You can see that in the chart. Very generous, extremely generous.
And very loving towards people. So in regards to his question, he thought that everything is going to, he's on the verge of greatness. Yeah, I do believe, and I think it's after October that he is just going to blossom. Everything is like coming to fruition. And then after October, it's just like opportunities. Everything is just going to come his way. I don't know how or what or anything. It's just that, yeah, he's
I think you're absolutely right, Jules, and I'm seeing closer to the end of the year with what Lou has got to face is really a question of him believing he can do some of the things that he's being offered to do or opportunities to take. It's a question of him believing that he can do that without disappointing anybody. So he's going to need a little bit of a support team and a little bit of a cheering section, but I'm here to tell him he can. You've got all the stuff it takes. I think there's a level of Lou, when you look at his chart, that people don't realize just how sensitive he can be sometimes. And he'll pick up because psychics usually are, pick up the nuance in the room, but what he tends to do is project it inward because of that inadequacy from the past.
I see that with him. Yes. Right. Oh, yes, yes.
You have that blazing sun in that Gemini 12, so you know on a soul level things. But I think what you're sensing is come this fall, he's going to be presented with opportunities. I would really recommend if he's got any classes where he can get up and start exercising his psychic ability in front of people or getting involved in those things and he'll gain strength and confidence. I think you're right. I think by the end of the year, he's going to be doing something very different than he's doing now that he never thought he could be doing.
Isn't that wonderful? Isn't oh, it? Good. And yeah. I wish he could be on the phone, but, you know, it, like you said, it's Mercury retrograde and we have a little bit. But that doesn't stop us from getting
not
the word out.
Mercury can't have its way with us there, Julie.
That's right. So let's go on then to another person who was to be calling in by the name of Sherry. And another delightful, delightful, wonderful, loving, loving person.
Okay, and Sherry, you gave me Sherry's birth information. Well, Sherry didn't have her time of birth.
That's correct.
So because I need the tilt of the Earth's axis to really find out, you know, to really get an indication of what was on the 12th house so I can know the path that they were coming from, I did pull up that day in Tennessee, and I can see, most importantly, where I'd like to speak, what I can speak to Sherry about is her brilliant Leo degree and her Chiron in Pisces. What Sherry came into this incarnation with this beautiful, brilliant Leo degree, so she's here to show all of us how to glorify and celebrate other people. She's really, really wonderful at that. Think of the sun in the sky and all the planets revolving around it for its heat, light, and warmth. I wish I knew what time of day you were born, Sherry, because I could tell you where you can apply that in life. But that's what you're here to do in one way or another. And you have Venus sitting right on top of that sun, almost on the same degree. So, Venus, you have all these talents. You have to be very, very careful that your talents don't get blinded, don't get lost in the process of what, you know, for yourself, what you're doing for others. That you have to be really careful about. The other thing is you came in with Chiron. We were talking about that earlier, the wounded healer in Pisces. And what Sherry might not share with you, she's got this brilliant Leo, sunny disposition, but there's a part of her, and it's from your soul's past. You lost somebody very dear, and there was a great, tremendous loss. And if I knew what house this Chiron is, I could tell you. But it has a tendency to get you into these little fits of depression almost, where you lose almost, you don't want to tell anybody about it, but you lose faith in the universe because the loss was so overwhelming for you in the last lifetime. You might have gone into a monastery. You might even opted out. It was just the harsh realities of life were too hard for you to take. But I'm here to tell you, in this lifetime, Sherry, that's not in the books for you. That overwhelming sense of loss. So when you feel yourself going there, say to your soul, that was yesterday, yesterday's gone, and I'm not going to feed into that. I have all the strength and faith that I need in the universe. Because it was overwhelming, and you were alone. And it was very, very tragic. If you could have lost children, I would have to know where that Chiron was, but that was your wound in this lifetime, the idea of losing something, the idea of losing something so horrific that it almost made you lose faith. And we've all had those moments in our life that tested our faith in God or tested our faith in the universe. Now you magnify that by 20. That's what you went through in your last life, and that's the wound you carry around with you in this lifetime. And while it's almost in total opposite of your sunny Leo degree, there's a part of you, and what's the worst thing that you can do when you feel this way is close yourself off. It's also a big part of you that can be extremely psychic. I believe that you could actually tap into other people in this lifetime that have experienced terrific loss and be able to be the sunny bright light in their lives rather than be able to fall back into your own loss from yesterday. Don't let your soul pull you back there. And anytime you start to feel like, oh, I'm losing faith in the universe, or I'm feeling like I'm totally alone, that's the time that you have to actually become part of something bigger than yourself. And that might be why go into a hospital, go into a monastery, or go into even a school, and go into someplace where you, even the military, you go into someplace that's a bigger and larger thing than you, and realize that, become part of it in some way. You need to feel connected to something larger in order for that wound to be healed in this lifetime. And you can do that for other people when you get there. I don't know if that sounds like her, but...
Yes, it does. And I do also know that Sherry, I mean, she's gorgeous. But she also deals, her career is in colors, is in decorating, where she just goes and creates all of these wonderful things.
She's very artistic. With that Leo sun, she's extremely artistic. And with the Libra moon, she knows, you know, she knows how to make things hospitable and gracious and beautiful and enjoyable and luxurious. But what I'm concerned about is that there are moments when she feels guilty about feeling bad. And, you know, she feels really guilty about that. And then she, or something will happen, and if she were to examine it, on a conscious level, she realized it's not enough to feel that horrible about, but what's happening is it's triggering that memory in the soul, and the soul is taking her there. So I just urge her to, if she can, to actually move beyond those feelings, because those are actually, if she can, those are actually psychic feelings to a large degree as well. You know, she can actually become very, she actually has the ability to tap into, let's put it this way, people's past hurt. She has the ability to tap into that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds right. And I don't have a question for her, but she has a lot of interest surrounding relationships. And I think that's what you were trying to tell us before, is her feeling of being alone. So what you're suggesting is not to take it to heart.
Absolutely. You know, she's got three planets in the sign of relationships. She's got the moon, she's got Saturn, and she's got one of my favorites, Juno. Juno is the hill her soul wants to die on when it comes to relationships. Juno has said, no matter, like, I'm looking at her Venus here, just to give you an idea. So what she finds attractive and what she's looking for somebody out there like herself, Leo and showy and brilliant and you know, entertaining and charisma, but the hill that her soul is going to die, and that relationship will never go the distance if it's not somebody who's willing to commit. I don't care how flashy and sexy they are. If they're not willing to commit and be loyal and faithful and appreciate her beauty, appreciate her talent, and not exploit them, she's not ever going to be happy in a relationship. So if she's holding out for that, more power to her. You know, even if it takes her a while, more power to her. The bottom line is that she must hold out for that. That's really very, very significant.
Boy, that is wonderful. I think she is going to absolutely love all of this information.
Oh, good.
Absolutely. And again, I wish she was on the phone, but she'll get a. This will get her onto where she wants to go. We have a couple minutes left, so could you tell people how to get in touch with you and how they can come to you to get a chart reading? And I got to tell everybody, if you really want to know and understand yourself better, the only way is to get your chart done by Marguerite. I have done this, and oh my gosh, it is unbelievable.
Oh, thank you for that, Jules. They can contact me. They can visit my website at www.marguerite.manning.com. They can hop onto Facebook and join me on my Cosmic Karma page. We have a lot of fun there. I love all my followers there. Or they can, you know, tune into my show. I've taken a hiatus now because I just wrote another article on Juno for Dell Horoscope called Juno, Our Karmic Match Made in Heaven, and I've been writing this summer. So I took a little hiatus from the radio show for a while. I don't know if I'll go back all that soon. But I just love finding the soul's past in the birth chart. That's my passion, you know, more than anything else. So I really enjoy it. Every time I get a new birth chart in front of me, it's really just like another puzzle. Somebody said to me once, you know, what are your passions? And I said, well, I have no desire to be famous. I have a fleeting desire to be wealthy, and I have an overwhelming desire to uncover the past. That's just, you know, what I really, really enjoy about astrology. And I also believe that when people are doing forecasting or other parts of astrology, they should go to astrologers that feel the same way about that I feel about uncovering the past. Because, as you know, I think if we're following our bliss or whatever we're passionate about, not only will abundance come to us, but we're contributing to the universe on the highest possible vibration. So, you know, how could it be wrong? So I would love people to get that. When I go for a plumber, I want it to be his passion because I want him to feel the same way about his work that I feel about mine. I haven't seen that yet, but I'm still looking.
That's funny. Okay. Well, I agree with you. The passion has to be there, and that's how we actually get the most accurate information, truly. So I'm very much agree with you.
Julie, it's just great being back with you here on this video. Now, are you still doing your Law of Attraction radio?
This is it.
On Sunday nights, you're going to be doing this, or just this is going to be the video?
Nope, this is, I'm so glad you asked, because I love to remind everybody that this video broadcast will be streamed out so everybody can hear it just the way they have been through 25 Internet Radio.
Wonderful.
Station, and it will be on my host page to watch the interview, and then it will be on YouTube that everybody can come back and watch it at their leisure. And there's so much good information here. I know people are going to want to come back just more than once. So, Marguerite, thank you so much. I wish you the best. You're absolutely fantastic.
Right back at you, Jules, and thanks so much for having me. Let's do it again, okay?
We will. And
great.
we'll have the calls worked out next time.
Okay. We won't do Mercury retrograde. We're the only brave ones on the air when Mercury's retrograde.
Isn't that the truth? Thanks, Marguerite.
As we close another show, it is my sincerest wish that you have a wonderful week ahead. Remember, through you, the world changes to reflect your happiness. If you'd like to comment on today's show, please send me an email to Jules
at loaradionetwork.com.